natural law versus individualism, rationality versus spirituality. The reaction was European-wide. I think what one sees here is a growing conviction that liberalism and Marxist socialism, its great antagonists, were in fact simply two sides of the same coin. That liberalism and Marxism shared a philosophical basis in the Enlightenment, that they were in fact both rational philosophies, that they were both materialistic, that they certainly did not, with their emphasis on progress, on the mechanistic, seemed to have little connection with natural evolution. Their emphasis on common laws, natural laws that apply to everyone, to every country, seemed to be opposed to individualism, to spirituality, and so on. One sees manifestations of this critique in England, in the work of Ruskin, for example, in France, with the work of Barrès and Marat. Marat, who would be associated with the Action Française, one of the new populist right organizations that we will certainly encounter. In Italy, with the work of D'Annunzio. But it was in Germany that the reaction was both sharper and more durable. Why was this? Well, for one thing, the unification of Germany, as we've seen, had come quite late. It was incomplete. There was a sense of, not yet a sense of what in fact was German. If one talked about the past, if one talked about continuities, can one construct a nation? Many of the observers of the 1890s who were being drawn increasingly into this criticism of modernity in Germany thought, well, what is the proper organization of society. The sense that industrialization in Germany had come very late, it had come very fast, it was very thorough, so that a whole set of older ideas, values, traditions, which had been in place as late as the 1870s, seemed to have been washed away almost overnight. In Germany, the process of industrialization had been distinctly different than it had been in France, which where it was long and drawn out over the course of much of the 19th century. Or in Britain, which had undergone with all of the attendant evils and problems of industrialization, had passed through this phase of industrialization from the 1750s into the middle of the 19th century. But in Germany, all of this transition from pre-industrial to industrial had happened literally within one person's lifetime, almost within two generations. In 1850, the Ruhr, what had, by the end of the century had become the industrial heartland of Germany, was still largely a sheep pasture. One found in the 1880s, 1890s, cheek by jowl, the most advanced industrial organization of labor with an aggressive Marxist political party, labor unions, a highly trained, skilled industrial working class, and artisanal workers who still belonged to guilds, which were still technically on the books. One found in Germany then simultaneously two sets of values, an older one, a pre-industrial set of values, and a relentlessly modern industrial set of values at the same time. As a consequence, the reaction against the manifestations of modernity, of modern industrial society, tended to be sharper in Germany than elsewhere, though one, as I said, saw them at other places in Europe. The critique that tended to be mounted in a wide variety of books, pamphlets, and social commentaries focused on the evils of this industrialization, of this modern urban society. It was opposed to that complex of ideas, attitudes, and institutions that, for lack of a better term, we have come to call modernity. It was opposed to materialism, secularism, rationality. Indeed, much of the criticism of modern industrial society that one saw emerging in these years from the non-Marxist sources stressed instead rootedness, the notion of organic growth, the soil, history, as opposed to reason.